Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. AJ and Rudo coming to you live.
That was a fingernail. That was gross.
Nice.
I thought it was just like a little feather or something, because that happens.
For sure.
Yeah, it was a fingernail. Gross. I touched somebody else's broken off fingernail.
That's what watching this game felt like, to be honest. Avs lose 5-2 to the Pittsburgh Penguins in a game that, it was a little all over the place. There was good, there was bad.
Yeah.
There was unfortunate, there was some nonsense, a little bit of everything. I will break down the basics in the 60-second rundown. All right. First period, I actually thought the Avs played pretty all right. They don't convert their one power play chance. Yeah. Chances back and forth are fairly even. Colorado just doesn't execute, doesn't quite have the finish to put the puck in the back of the net when they really probably needed to in the first period.
It would have helped.
0-0 after one. Second period, the first goal of the game goes to Pittsburgh because Sidney Crosby does Sidney Crosby things.
Yeah.
You just shrug your shoulders and go, yeah, that guy's good on that one. I don't know. Second goal, the Avs, things get a little out of hand. Penalties from Curtis McDermott and Andrew Cogliano put the Avs in a 5-on-3 situation where they give up the goal to Jake Guentzel. They do get that one back, a very nice read from JT Compher to make it 2-1, but then it became the Jeff Carter show from there.
Jeff Carter takes over!
I don't know if I'd say that exactly, but the Avs continue to put themselves in a hole with penalties. Pittsburgh makes it 3-1 there. The Avs do get it back to 3-2 in the third period off the power play with Devon Taves, but that's as close as it would ever get as Pittsburgh picks up two more for the 5-2 final. Look, the underlyings are bad here. In a lot of ways, the Avs did get dominated in this hockey game. Is it as bad as it looks on paper, AJ?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Because after the first period, you feel like you probably should be up 1-0 after it. You know, the McKinnon hitting the crossbar and then Rantanen not being able to finish in front. That's an ugly combination right there where you just feel like should have had that.
Yeah.
And then really from the second period on, you don't really ever pick up your game. Pittsburgh does. You have a goaltender playing great hockey that you don't do anything to help. The team puts themselves in bad positions and then.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. And then gets burned for it, and its star players don't play as well as the other team's star players.
Let's start there because.
The Battle of the Stars.
McKinnon, I didn't think was horrible tonight. He just wasn't good enough. And then.
Hold on, real quick. Why was this the most important game standings wise?
This just wasn't all that important to the Avs, really. It was a big deal.
Obviously, if they win, they move into first place, but they still have games in hand. They still have head-to-head games against the two teams that they're battling with in Minnesota and Dallas.
Yep.
Are we pretending like this game had extra importance because it would have moved them into first place for potentially one whole day?
This loss does not change the fact that the Avs continue to control their own destiny.
Right.
You would like them to win it, of course.
I was just curious because the conversation in chat going on is like, well, they just failed to show up for the most important of the games. You're in the final 15 games. The most important game is your next one, always.
That's factual.
And the Avs are still right in the middle of all this. I just like losing games always sucks, but I just wanted to.
They also
like,
just won six in a row.
Yeah, like whoa. The reason that they were even in position for tonight to feel like it mattered more was because
they won six in a row.
Six in a row.
Right, and
it's the NHL. Like, sustained winning streaks like that are tough.
Unless you're Boston.
Yeah, unless you're Boston, and then we'll see.
But I did want to start at the top because I don't think you got enough.
Every loss is a lost opportunity to move up in the standings. Yeah. Every win, you do move up. Like that's
if
you're assigning extra importance because they would have moved ahead in game 70.
I just don't like if you're saying the season ended today. Sure, I get that, you know, there would be some urgency with this game, but you look back and there's plenty of losses this year that you could say, well, there's 2 points. Yeah.
You have blown leads against Seattle, Vancouver, Anaheim.
Yep.
And then losses to Arizona and Chicago.
A blown lead to
start
this
there
team
first, guys.
For sure. But sticking with tonight, I get Mikko ends up getting assist, as does McKinnon on the night, but you just need more from those big stars, right?
And definitely.
And again, McKinnon has played an unbelievably good 15 games in a row or something.
Totally.
But tonight, it's really hard for Colorado to win, especially with how injured they are. If McKinnon and Mikko aren't getting it,
it's a lot harder. Like you're talking about, all the depth needs to do this and depth that. Like you have two guys that are getting top six opportunities that otherwise wouldn't, and Dennis Malgin and Alex Newhook. They both have great scoring chances tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of them cashes that chance.
It's true.
And
the Newhook one especially was
the Newhook one. You're frustrated because he doesn't even give himself a chance. He passes. He passes on the opportunity entirely.
Yeah.
At least Dennis Malgin's shooting the damn thing, right? But you're talking about two guys that you're just trying.
Yep.
To see what you have.
Get through it with what you got. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we haven't really talked a ton about the injuries and stuff, but when we were downstairs watching this and we were running through the list, I was actually like shocked to be like, oh my God, they really are back to like seven of them, aren't they?
All of Jack Johnson, Curtis McDermott, and Brad Hunt were in the game tonight. There's a very real possibility none of those dudes are in the lineup for game one of the playoffs.
Yeah, if you're, you said Jack Johnson, Curtis McDermott, and Brad Hunt, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So if your defense is healthy, no. none of those three guys are, it's not even a conversation.
Yep.
None of those guys are in your lineup if your defense is healthy. None of them. Absolutely. It's not even a conversation.
Yep.
It really isn't. There's no case. There's not one single case to be made.
Unlike the forward side, the six dudes that are in are very clear cut.
Way more
defense.
Muddled. Yeah. It's just that now your top six has been infiltrated by the bottom six, by the scourge of the bottom of your lineup. Yeah. No, it's really...
You have been playing some Diablo.
No, it really just like tonight's like I really don't want to make this about injuries because I don't think
it's
that
not.
Was the
Avs also didn't play well enough.
Yeah, definitely. And when you say, I also think that two things like they contribute
right,
to each other
exactly
because when you do say you have no Cale Makar, and you're Cale Makar goes out of the lineup and Curtis McDermott comes into the lineup, like the downgrade there.
It's
literally
obvious.
If you pull up a war card, your downgrade goes from a 100% war player to a 1%
even
player.
Even if you're Curtis McDermott's biggest fan, you know that's just not comparable just, hockey
right,
players.
Like your defense is going to have a tougher time. And then the guys that were in there, you really look at all six of them and you say, maybe I would say five of the six, and say that I think the only one that I didn't have a real problem with tonight was Brad Hunt.
He wasn't great.
Like I'm yeah, I'm not going to, I don't know.
He ends up out there on the fourth goal against. He just isn't competitive in what was that board battle behind the net, but I hear you.
Yeah. God, a board battle. But yeah. And point being, like, they did not play very well.
As a unit, for sure.
And they, you know, they are playing a desperate team, which is a very different speed than what Chicago provides. But like,
you're not wrong.
Let's not remember they played a couple of pretty desperate teams.
Beat Toronto.
You know, Toronto, Ottawa, and Detroit are all fighting for something that's meaningful to them.
Yep.
So I'm like, we'll just preemptively get ahead of any of the miss me with the they can't beat a good team stuff.
It's just not true.
Because, like, let's just not ignore the week that just existed.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think when you look at the start of the second period, we can kind of just skip through the first.
Yeah, there's just not a few opportunities that the Avs didn't finish. Just to touch on this, since that's what's come up, it's not like the Avs didn't execute horrible. It's not like the Avs didn't play well. There were some where you want better execution. McKinnon also hit two posts tonight.
Yeah, definitely. I know we're going to get to this, but there were some tough spots that the officiating puts you in.
Yeah, we'll get there.
And you are like you are saying that there were some tough spots tonight where ultimately I think the Avs lose this game because they just don't play well enough.
I agree. But you have a team that's not playing their best, and you add on questionable reffing, and you add on injuries, and you add on that you have to whatever. Yeah,
exactly. Like it was one of those nights where on any given night, could they have survived one of those? Totally.
Yeah.
But all three of them at the same time is just a recipe for a loss against. Like even if you're like, oh, the Pens, you know, the Pens aren't the Pens of what they used to be, of course.
But they're no free out. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not. It's not a free square. In the bingo space, it's just not.
Yep.
It's a solid hockey team. They were desperate tonight. They played like a desperate team, you know, and you kind of just tip that cap and say, okay, great. They outplayed Colorado tonight. And that disappoints you because you want better from the Avs. You just do.
So you get into the second period, and AJ, where do you stand on this first goal against Colorado? Is it? Because Sidney Crosby just completely walks Sam Girard and then rips a backhand. Perfect shot. Are we giving full credit to Crosby there? I certainly, if you flip the script and Nathan McKinnon's doing that, the Avs fan base is gushing over Nathan McKinnon, right?
Totally.
So it's only fair to keep that even back the other way?
No, and before that play happens, would anybody in the world tell you that Sam Girard is better than Sidney Crosby? No.
No. Not a single person.
And when they got a chance to go one-on-one, it went the way that you're afraid that it could go. Crosby just outplays him. And then with that unbelievable backhand of his, when we talk about how great Mikko's is, we always talk about Crosby and Patrick Kane as the other guys that you have to look out for with the elite backhand. Well, we saw it. That thing, nasty as hell. He's going to be 87 years old and still be able to make that shot. The guy is unbelievable. Walk Sam Girard. It sucks that it's Girard. It would suck if it was Byram. It doesn't matter. Right. He just danced that dude and then finished like the top five all-time player that he is.
Probably the best backhand ever.
You literally just tip that cap and say, good Lord, man.
Best backhand ever?
I don't, man. I hate that. What can you tell me about Mike Bossy's backhand?
I can't.
Exactly. That's why I don't want to have that conversation.
It's fair. Not going to argue it.
Best backhand since my consciousness came into watching hockey?
Yes. Okay. Fair enough.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Had they not the conversation that's all that relevant to this game, but Mikko top five?
In that time? I don't know, man. In top five in the league today? Yes.
Okay. I know it's really good. I'm curious how close you think it is to Crosby's.
Not, but that's because I think Crosby's is that level. Like, sure. It's so special.
Won't argue with you on that one. He truly has an unbelievable talent there. Not that the rest of his game isn't also amazing.
Yeah, and that was why during the thing, they had that poll that most complete player was Crosby. Yeah. Right. I was pretty surprised by that, but hey.
Who would you take over him?
I really, when you talk about like most complete, does absolutely everything. Yeah. The guy who finished second was the first answer that came to my mind in Patrice Bergeron.
Okay. You could make an argument there.
It's not such a strong thing for me, but I know that this is not going to be my most popular take of all time, but I would also have Auston Matthews in there.
He just needs more of a track record, right? Yeah. Hasn't been in the league long enough.
I think so. I just think parts of his game get really underrated. It's not what we're here for.
Same story as how I feel with Matthews, needs more time, but I consider throwing Cale Makar in that conversation. Anyway, you get into the second period. Crosby does Crosby things. You're down 1-0. Okay.
Yeah.
Crosby's going to get his. You're still in the hockey game.
Yeah.
Then you start digging your own grave.
Well, you're talking about, in the span of a couple of minutes, two guys that are in your lineup because of what they're supposed to be able to prevent.
Yeah.
You have two guys in your lineup, Curtis McDermott, Andrew Cogliano, that they are in your lineup because of what they can keep from happening to you. In theory, however you're going to feel about McDermott is how you feel. Everybody knows how I feel, so I don't feel like going over it all the time.
It doesn't matter how you feel about it. Objectively, that was a bad penalty.
He's in the lineup for a certain reason, and that's not it, man.
Yep.
And then Andrew Cogliano, you're on a PK. You're a veteran guy.
And the thing with Cogliano is there is now a track record of him doing this over the course of this season where he's taking penalties that are really hurting Colorado. Now, that call's a bit questionable maybe, but you just can't do that. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So,
the thing is, again, when we were in the first period when Nathan MacKinnon got a 50-50 puck and he just walked in and turned it into a 2-on-1.
Yep.
We were talking to each other, and I said that you have to know your personnel.
Yep.
You just cannot. Against Nathan MacKinnon, you cannot guess.
You can't
against that guy.
Can't commit to that.
You have to be careful, and you just have to not make that mistake.
Yep.
And in that situation, Andrew Cogliano has to know that that's Sidney Crosby there.
He's going to get calls.
He gets the most favorable whistle in the NHL.
Yep.
However you feel about that, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just the reality. The guy gets an incredibly favorable whistle.
Yep.
And you can't put yourself in a position to put your arm around him like that. For my money, I didn't think it was a penalty at all.
I didn't either, but...
And they called it... you could have sold me as a hooking penalty.
I think it was closer to a hooking than a hold.
I could have seen where they were at least making an argument for hooking, for holding. Miss me with that, man. Miss me with that. Absolutely miss me with that. I thought it was a bad call, but also Cogliano, again... You're talking about a veteran guy again.
Who should know better.
Know your personnel. And
he should know better.
What's the upside of that? You lightly grab on.
You delay Crosby for 0.1 second.
I don't even want to say grab on. It really just looked like the arm came down the other arm. Yeah. Like it wasn't anything. He doesn't turn him. He doesn't do anything. And that's for me, I guess that's a really tough one to call.
Especially already on a power play.
I don't want to sit here and say we're blaming the refs because that's not what's happening. But
there are
at the same time, I don't think that's a good call. And that's a 5-on-3. And we have seen and would see in this hockey game.
This is more my problem.
We would see in this hockey game that officials really don't want to call that second penalty. And it's got to be something egregious. Well, in this hockey game, an egregious on a power play got missed.
Where Bo Byram takes a high stick to the face.
Exactly. And this situation, they put them on the 5-on-3 for a minute 22. The Avs do a good job of killing off the first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
They win the faceoff.
They get the clear. They do okay.
Like, they're doing fine. And then it's just good. It's just better play by Pittsburgh.
And perfect world.
It's just a better play.
Perfect world. Georgiev smothers the first shot.
So I if you watch it really closely, Gensel tips the initial shot.
Of it, yeah.
And I think that's what creates the rebound where he then scores.
Shoots
on.
Up and great
because
hand
without
eye,
that
yeah.
tip, I
he probably
my,
gets it.
My
yeah.
first thought on it was the same is why doesn't Georgiev corral that?
Yeah.
But if you go back and you watch it, you'll see Gensel tips it. And that's what causes, he still obviously makes that save, but that's what causes that puck to pop the way that it does off Georgiev. Yep. And then Gensel just makes a great, I mean, it's just a good, very patient, just nothing special. Just boop, just one quick one touch and it goes past Georgiev. It's a good play.
All right. Well, chat, if you're planning on high sticking anyone anytime soon.
Wait, whoa, hold on. Why? No, not high sticking. If you're planning on hooking with somebody, if you're planning on slashing, if you're trying, she's going to trip and then you're going to fall. Like,
all right, look, all I'm saying is sometimes you have trouble getting the stick high.
If you're trying to slew foot someone into your bedroom. I mean, I guess that sounds aggressive, but
one,
what's going on here?
One, get consent from the referees.
Okay. Well, get consent from the other person first.
Yeah. They're the referee in this situation.
Okay.
Two, make sure you're ready.
This is a mess.
Roman ready, in fact. You can go to ro.co/DNVR today to get over with Roman. They have all sorts of different products. They will also give you a free consultation on what your sexual health is like. Whether you have erectile dysfunction, if you need help with that, they can help with that. If you have low T, they got that. They have wipes that can help make you last four times longer in bed. They've got it all for you. A bunch of other things, too.
Yeah.
They can deliver your products to you in a discreet box directly to your front door. Like I said, they're just here to make sure you're healthy and taking care of yourself. You can do a virtual. It's not a, what do you call it? It's not a consultation when you go to the doctor. Just a doctor's appointment, I guess. That's
just a checkup.
Checkup. There you go. That's the word I'm looking for.
A consultation. Yes. Yeah. I like spearing, but again, sounds really aggressive. Also, all these things are illegal in the game of hockey, and we don't want to promote that.
Call it whatever you want to call it. It's whatever you're when you're doing the tango in the bedroom, all right? Make sure Roman is there to help you out. Again, men, you can get a free consultation here just to check up on your sexual health. It's if you're perfectly healthy, they'll tell you, great, you're healthy. You don't need us. Good job. If you need a little something, they can take care of that too. Tons of products. Go check them out again, ro.co/DNVR today. What?
We were just not great.
That's
that
all right.
We did not have that one in order.
That's why we need
we
Roman.
We were out of sync the way that the abs were tonight.
True.
That was a bad look.
True.
That was not our best effort.
Accurate.
Sir.
An accurate take. Well, you know, sometimes if you're not going to high the stick, you should just get high.
Did you say high the stick?
Yep.
This isn't even a isn't even a thing.
If the stick's not getting high, maybe you should just
there
get high.
There we go. My man. That's what I'm after.
Jivehive.com. That's JiveHYVE.com today to order your weed, whatever your buzz might be, whether it's just weed you want to put into a pipe or bong or whatevs. You can also get pre-rolled joints. You can get the vape pens, you name it. You can pick it all up from Jive Hive. They're a virtual dispensary, so you go online, select the products you want. They'll deliver it right to your door. You don't even have to deliver it right away. Like, if you have an idea that you want to smoke weed this weekend, you can go on there and order a delivery for this weekend, today. Mm-hmm. Super easy. You don't have to deal with people, which is a plus, plus, plus for AJ and I.
yeah. You guys see, we have decent chemistry. We can deal with each other.
That's a, it stops
not how
there.
It goes with yeah. other folks.
All the people that come up and say hi to me, and I'm like, cool, I'll say hi, and please do come up and
yeah,
say
for
hi.
For the record, we always encourage people to do it, but just also know that inside it's abject horror taking place.
We are going to be extremely awkward yep. the entire time.
Yep.
And,
yep.
And we appreciate you. It's just us and our lack of social skills.
Really all it is. It's not that we don't like you. It's nothing like that. We're just awkward.
But, you know, maybe a little bit of weed can help with that. So, Jive Hive.
Weed is great for that. Helping with the anxiety.
If you have the right amount. If you have the right amount.
Yeah. The other day, you remember when we were here and I was having a really hard time?
Yeah.
And I went and I got a couple that day just because we had time.
Yeah.
But taking that edge off is really nice.
It's nice.
Like, it just, it's really good.
So, check them out. They do only deliver to select locations. So, go to jivehive.com, put in your address, make sure they deliver to you. It's JiveHyVe.com. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Look, I want to give the Avs a little bit of credit tonight because they didn't go away in this hockey game. They stuck with it. They continued to push, even if they did end up coming up a little bit short.
Butt ending? God, what is that? Goddamn Gen Z. You guys are so obsessed with the ass. It's ridiculous.
You're not an ass man?
No, we're not going to get into this. I'm just saying, I don't know where that divide took place where you know, when I was 17, that's totally taboo. And now I turned 36 this year and kids are all about it. I mean, go for it, dude. Like, fly that flag, homies. I'm
regardless,
just
the Avs' first goal. look, I think you wanted more out of Newhook on the night.
Dude, you... So I did get a tweet about, you know, as an audition for a top six job, this hasn't gone well for Alex Newhook.
It's and one game.
I would also say, as an audition, if you just looked at this one game, if this was an audition for the top six job for Mikko Rantanen, it wouldn't have gone well.
Exactly.
Dennis Malgin, it wouldn't have gone well. I would argue Valanciunas, it wouldn't have gone very well.
Yep. And a total fair assessment. Also, key component in helping create the first goal.
Yep.
For Colorado.
The Alex Newhook forecheck.
Yep. He gets
separates in, the guy from the puck and then
allows Nichushkin to come in and get it.
It's Nichushkin that goes to make the play and JT Compher with a great finish. Yep. And that's all three guys. Like,
and you know, great job by Newhook. Val gets a little bit lucky, I think. That's not the play he was trying to make. But it's a great read by Compher to jump into the play, win the positional battle, and be strong on his stick, receiving that pass from Val and finishing that play. So, on a night where there's a lot of things going wrong, it's a perfect example of a play where the Avs are still in it and working hard.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, that goal wasn't enough to really battle back for Colorado. Logan O'Connor just puts his stick where it shouldn't. I get it. He's reaching for a puck.
Well, and that's what's frustrating, though, is that there was that lack of discipline tonight that showed up where the Avs do as much of beating themselves on a night where they're just not playing particularly well.
Yep.
They're not playing very well, and they keep putting themselves in bad positions.
Yep.
You're trying to kill off a 5-on-3, and you don't do it. Then you get it to 2-1. You feel like you're back in the game. The building is buzzing. LLC takes a penalty and they score.
Yep.
And now it's 3-1. And you're just like that.
Yep.
One step forward is one step back.
The 3-1 goal itself was tough. That's on the penalty kill, obviously. A puck basically comes right to Bo's stick. And he just, I don't know if you want to say mishandles it or just doesn't play it.
He just doesn't make a play on it.
Yeah.
You know, he just, it just kind of just looks like it just teleports through him a little bit. Because he was there. He was in position. And he just doesn't make a play there. And he's in position. He does everything that he needs to be doing. He doesn't make that play and it ends up on the back door where we're not gonna spend a lot of time on Georgiev tonight. I thought he was great.
I did too.
And he did 4 goals against is just cruel.
Yep. And the last two especially. No universe where any goalie makes either of those saves.
The Crosby goal with the backhander. You're not stopping that.
It's true.
The second goal with the rebound where the guy just tips it in. Like, you're not stopping that.
Right. It's hard to fault him on any of those. And like, I'm sure there's a world where you could say, oh, he could have done this, that, the other thing better. Sure. But there's 6 dudes out there on the ice that let him down on all of those goals.
Literally,
5 dudes, I guess, that let him down. But
literally, the only thing I ask different from Georgiev tonight is if he corrals the rebound on the second goal.
Yep.
And there's a reason for that. So it wasn't like it was
even,
a total
even
misplay.
That one, right.
Yeah, exactly.
And even then, if he stops that one, the Avs still don't get the 3 tonight. So,
yeah, it's too true. I mean, we don't know how the game changes.
Sure.
Right?
Obviously, it's a completely different universe.
Yeah, you have no idea what happens if you're not chasing down 2-0. It's just the 1. But that's just how the game goes.
Yep. You gotta live with it, play through it at times. And yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Jeff Carter ends up with 2 pretty easy goals on the night.
Yeah. And that really sucks because Jeff Carter sucks at this point in his career. He's not very good.
Has punished the Avs in different ways this year.
Yeah. And also, again, you were talking about another example of why the whole Curtis McDermott is a deterrent. Okay, well, Jeff Carter's not going to take a Curtis McDermott fight. Okay, Curtis McDermott didn't do anything tonight.
Yep.
There was no retribution whatsoever for the hit on Makar. There was none in the game in which it happened, in which McDermott took the next shift with Jeff Carter on the ice. Okay, I'm an idiot. I've been called an idiot in this conversation a few times by people who swear by Curtis McDermott's value. Well, McDermott didn't attempt to do a single thing about it in either game. doesn't try to do anything. Not with Jeff Carter, not with anybody else, not with any designated whatever guy, you know, Josh Archibald or whatever. Nobody's going to take you. So your value is that you are such a tough guy that nobody will now will fight you, but teams will continue to take liberties with you.
Sure doesn't Evan seem Rodriguez, like he's prevented Evan Rodriguez anything.
Took a headshot last game, a game in which Curtis McDermott played. What happened? Not one single thing.
It's tough.
You can't. You just cannot sell me on Curtis McDermott's value in this part of the game, because it just doesn't show up.
Yeah,
there's no difference is being made.
It's hard to quantify the deterrence factor when you see things are not getting deterred.
Yeah.
And yes, he is a good fighter. He can throw him with anybody, but
he's an intimidating presence there. But
does not matter if nobody fights him.
Right. And if they continue to take liberties with Avalanche player, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah. So
he's signed through next season. Like they signed up for more of this.
It's definitely tough.
And the thing with his penalties, Kay says that he's actively hurting them, is he takes too many of them. He takes too many minors. Look, I don't mind it. If you're going to have a tough guy that is taking tough guy penalties, a.k.a. fights, and he's racking up penalty minutes five at a time, I don't care about that.
Yep.
Curtis McDermott's taking too many minors this year.
I 100% agree. Unfortunately, he's not alone. I think there's a lot of guys in the Avs' bottom half of their lineup.
Andrew Cogliano is taking too many. Alex Newhook is taking too many. You're talking about those are the guys at the top. Mikko Rantanen has taken way too many.
It's not even close with him. It's way, way, way too
many. Yeah, you're talking about kind of a handful of the same culprits. You know, one of the things about Nazem Kadri that you could live with was he took a lot of penalties. He drew a ton of them. And the Avs just aren't drawing penalties quite the same way.
Yeah.
So. Miss Josh Manson.
Yeah.
Because Josh Manson could kind of handle that role, but also give you quality hockey at the same time. And with Curtis McDermott, I mean, I'm really not trying to make this an anti-McDermott thing. I really don't mean to, but when you just watch him play when you're watching him on the ice, he's just not.
It's and
on
like,
defense, he hurts you it, so much.
And it is what it is, right? The Avs don't have another option back there.
Right.
If the Avs get healthy, he's not going to play.
Please, Cahill.
And that's nothing against Curtis. That's just the reality of the lineup is if the Avs are healthy, he's not going to play.
Yep. And now you have so many of these bottom six forward types that he doesn't have a road there either.
Yep. The Avs have a million bottom six guys now. Yeah. So.
Now they're in your top six.
So this is something that I don't enjoy talking about.
Oh, man. This is not a good transition.
There
isn't a good way to do this.
There isn't. In a perfect world, we would never have to talk about things like this.
Yeah.
But gun violence continues to be a problem in this country, regardless of where you stand on it. It doesn't matter. People continue to get shot.
This isn't the conversation that we're having. It's not about gun violence.
That stuff really not. Sucks. And however you feel about that, what we know we can do in this moment is at least help do our best for the community of people that are out there.
Yeah.
So I don't. Most of you probably don't know who Luis Garcia is. If you don't know, he was unfortunately killed in a gun violence incident here, went to East High School. Was not the event that happened today, but an event prior to that.
Yeah.
Near and dear to many people, they have a GoFundMe set up for him. You can go find that. But also, on March 27th, we are going to be hosting an event here at the DNVR Bar where 10% of all proceeds will be going to Luis's family to help with the awful situation.
Yeah, this was a personal event, you know, to obviously every time this happens in your community, we all feel the impact of it.
Yep.
But this was one that we felt like we could really try to help out.
Do our part.
Yeah. And so, you know, the 27th, I believe you said, I want to make sure I have that correct.
Correct.
27th, we're having a thing here. And we would appreciate any support. People coming out, people donating to the GoFundMe that was just on screen.
Yep.
Tiff, you want to bring that back up just to to give it a second look. Obviously, this is one of those things that would be...
There are a lot of things in the world more important than hockey, and this is
absolutely
one of them.
And this is one of those things that, you know, we care a lot about. And, you know, when you build the community that we have, this is one of the opportunities that we have to use that community for something other than talking about line changes and combinations. Yeah. And, you know, should Bo Byram and Sam Girard ever play together again? I see your comment, my man. This is way, way bigger than that. And we want to be able to bring that community together because we can, well, wherever, whatever conversation, we're not trying to have that conversation about, you know, gun violence and all that, just that this is, you know, this is something that has happened and a thing that we care a lot about.
Yep. And a quote from one of his friends: since the first time I met him, I could tell he had more drive and focus than anyone I had met prior. Luis was the hardest worker I knew. After practice, before school, and late at night, Luis would always be working, whether it was training for our upcoming games or working a job to help provide for his family. Luis always kept to himself, but when you got to know him, he was extremely funny. He was always goofing off and making dumb jokes to make other people smile, no matter what was going on in his life. So it's the absolute minimum that we can do to try and help out his family, and obviously impossible situation to be in, but...
Yeah.
We got to at least try to do something good. So go donate to the GoFundMe. Come out for Monday, March 27th, so we can help fundraise for his family. It would mean a lot, obviously, to his family, but to us as well.
Yeah, for sure. This is one of those, you know, we're a community together. You know, we lift each other up kind of things.
Yep. Okay, we're going to transition back into talking about hockey now.
Yeah.
Never fun to do, but... Yeah.
For sure.
That is our job. So, third period.
That's why we're all here.
Yep. Third period of this game, third period of the podcast. Look, the incident where the Avs don't end up on a 5-on-3 happened at the end of the second period. The Avs get a power play that crosses over. They're not able to capitalize on it.
What a shock.
Yeah. The lowest scoring power plays in the world.
How different is it? If they get that 5-on-3 and they have a minute to go in the third period with that 5-on-3 and they get that goal there to make it 3-2.
And then it's a one-goal game going into the third.
You go into it with that second power play still going. It's just a total... You probably don't score on it because... And we've talked about this a lot. Split power plays like that don't get scored on very often.
It's true.
At the start of periods when carry over like that, they don't get scored on too often.
Just statistically...
Yeah,
it's just the hardest place to do it, and the power play. Not being able to convert there, they do keep themselves in the game. They do pick up another goal with another power play opportunity.
With a reasonable amount of time to go. I mean, you're talking about
you got
nine minutes left to play,
yeah,
right around. And you are having that conversation. Okay, now it's down by one. The building's going. The Avs are going. Everything's working. And then you look at the fourth goal from the Pens, and who gets outworked? It's your bottom barrel guy.
Yeah, I mean, Brad Hunt in the corner loses the battle. Lars Eller gets beat by his guy to the spot for the tip. Like redirects, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And look, goals like that happen sometimes, but you don't even have to blame that goal. But the combination of putting yourself in a hole and a goal like that is just... It's too hard to win.
Yep.
When you get both of those things.
Yeah, and allowing that and look, like Jared Bednar has to play those guys at some point.
You can't play McKinnon for 20 minutes for sure. Yeah.
20 straight in the third. Yeah, game.
Yes, yes.
Not 20 minutes.
You absolutely can
that
play McKinnon for 20 minutes. You cannot. McKinnon needs shifts off for sure. Yeah. Despite the last 5 minutes of the hockey game, but that didn't work out for the Avs either. So.
Yeah.
Point made.
Whew.
With that being said, on the night, our king of the game is going to go to JT Compher.
Yep.
He was one of the key forces in keeping the Avs in this game, involved in both goals. And a guy that, even if you don't like the result of this game, you like that Compher is continuing to find his way to points because of how critical a role he continues to play on this hockey team. You need him to be good for you in the playoffs this year.
He's a huge X factor for them.
Yep. No two ways around it.
Yeah. And, you know, producing, you saw they got the even strength goal, but then he gets the power play assist tonight.
Yep.
When your big guns aren't going, you're looking at your second line saying, where's the answer? JT gave it to you tonight.
Yep. He gave the production the Avs needed out of their top six as a whole.
Yeah.
They didn't get it from anywhere else, and that's why part of the reason they lost this game.
Yep.
But it's a nice... when we don't have to pick at the Avs second line too much for a year that we've done a whole lot of picking at it.
Yeah. And in a unit that's been a unit, what unit? It changes all the time because of injuries this year.
Yeah.
It's been really hard for, you know, those groups to really develop that kind of chemistry.
Yep. And Confer is providing at least some level of stability there.
Mm-hmm.
So... nothing but good things to say about JT Compher whole.
Tonight, yeah. And then you pull the goalie with five minutes to play.
Jared Bednar goes full YOLO for real.
And you get away with it for over 4.5 minutes. You are fine.
Yep.
What you don't love is, they don't score. Tristan Jarry has two shots at it, but you don't really even... McKinnon hits one post.
He does.
But then you don't really create
that many competitive chances.
Chances
there wasn't a ton there.
Given that it was 5 minutes, you really thought that there would have been a little more, and it just wasn't.
Yeah.
Which was more of a reinforcement of your top guys just didn't really have it going tonight.
Yeah.
And there was not a response to that.
Yep. It's just when you win on nights when your top guys don't look good, you stole a game. That's all there is to it. And the Avs weren't able to steal this one, and they didn't have their top line do about a lot of the heavy lifting. So it's how you end up in this situation. For the record, chat, are you in agreement with us? Even if it's against the Avs, a goalie goal would have been dope.
Yeah, because when it almost happened, we immediately agreed. It would suck, but it would also be awesome because goalie goals are the shit.
Yep, they're the coolest thing. So would have been perfectly happy for the Avs to give up a goalie goal, if that's how this game went down.
I thought Avery had an interesting question in chat about when's the last time the Avs had a 6-on-5 goal.
It does feel like it's been a while, in large part because they're usually leading at the end of games lately, or leading or tied. I off the top of my head, I really don't know the last time they scored a 6-on-5 goal.
So, I don't... either, but I'm going to look at the season and see what the Avs are.
You go take a look. I will hit some super chats while you're looking it up. $20 from Craig, who says, Avs just told the league that you can blindside the Norris winner, go unpenalized, and then waltz into their barn and score a couple goals. Did McDermott go to the Pens Hotel and fluff Carter's pillow for him too? Weak. I mean, I wouldn't go that far with it, but... We kind of covered that conversation.
Look,
if he went
to their hotel and is fluffing Carter's pillow, weird. For the record, with the empty net, the Avs have 4 goals scored this year
total. Okay,
that doesn't specify 6-on-5, just with
an empty net. Sure.
So that could also count
shorthanded delayed penalty situations
because
they have scored at least one in that situation this year.
So.
But
maybe later.
Actually skim through.
I'll actually flip through some games and see if I can find that answer for you, Avery, because I am also curious.
Yeah.
They've not been a great 6-on-5 team outside of last year.
Yeah.
Most of Bednar's tenure.
Yeah, they've been pretty rough at it. But I'd be curious how much time they've spent on 6-on-5, too, because I don't think it's a crazy amount. Anyway, next Super
this
Chat.
This year it's 40 minutes and 16 seconds with the empty net, and they have 4 goals and have given up 11.
So a goal every 10 minutes doesn't feel great.
St. Louis has 2 goals and has given up 20.
Jesus. $10 from Jim, who says, impressive that famed criminal Jeff Carter scored 2 goals tonight when he should still be in federal prison for the attempted murder of Cale Makar.
I am a
first
big
time
fan
commenting
of,
in a while. Hope all is well.
Not only was this hyperbole, but it just continued to ramp up
off
as
the
it
ramp.
Went on. Yeah. I loved that. That was great.
Thank you for the $10, Jim.
That was awesome.
I don't know if he should be in prison, but definitely was a little surprised he didn't get suspended for that hit. Hockey jail? Yeah, for sure.
The hockey jail that he should be going to is the one where Curtis McDermott is the security guard. That's why you pay him.
Okay. I'd watch that movie.
Yeah.
$20 from the Incredible Drew, who always given us tons of money.
He should change his name to the Incredible Drew.
He really
Drew.
Should. I always call him that.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Georgie was awesome, just had no help. Nobody really played overly well. Can't win them all, so just the next one. Also, it would be nice for someone to call out the ref's NBA player style. Yeah, I mean,
players like that money. It's easy for us to say, but when you get fined like
$30,000, yeah, it's not a small chunk of change.
$30,000 or whatever it is for talking shit about the refs. It's really easy for us to be like, why don't you guys say more about it? That's why.
I mean, we could just go with your idea. Let's have ref pressers. Then no one would have to say anything about it except for the ref himself.
Just give me a ref with a pool reporter and...
Yep.
You know, let the media designate who that pool reporter is.
Yep.
And then have them go in
and do the thing. Doesn't have to be like 3 minutes would be enough.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep.
Thank you for the 20, Drew. $5 from Josh, who says, what's really annoying is now Dallas gets to be rested and play the Pens tomorrow. I benefit that the Avs get twice this season. Yeah, I mean, we've talked a bunch about how Avs' schedule is ridiculous this year.
You know what does happen, though, is that when Dallas comes to Denver next week,
They're on the backside of that.
They are on a Sega Baba. And so, guess who isn't?
The Avs.
In Colorado.
They had to sacrifice a lot of Sega Babas to get that one to go their way.
Maybe that was the schedule makers. Maybe they know.
This one counts as five.
Yeah. for every one that you get.
I mean, what do they give the script to the schedule makers? Is that what
yes,
that's what's
obviously.
Up? Okay. All right.
Maybe the schedule makers write the script.
That would make a lot more sense to do it that way, to be honest. So. and then $5 more from Jacob, who says, after all of the horrible penalties tonight, the most frustrating one was the Helm versus Crosby madness on the boards. How does Helm get the extra? Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, we couldn't hear at the bar. We couldn't hear any of the commentary, and we were also very confused as to how that interaction, which was really just, I don't think should have been a penalty for either player.
Right. That's a no
how
call.
Darren Helm walked out of that with two is
ridiculous,
insane.
Yep. I just don't understand. And again, to be as clear as possible, and people will still tweet it at me anyway, we are not blaming the refs for this.
No, God, no. We've been propping up the penalty kill like crazy over the last few weeks.
And it was terrible.
And your PK lets you down in this game. It just doesn't get the job done. If the PK does the job tonight, the result absolutely could have been different.
Yep. And then 5 more from Melanie, who says, on to the next, go Avalanche. That's how I feel about it for the most part.
You have 12 games left. You still have a soft schedule. You have Arizona, Anaheim. You better be on a 3-game winning streak this time next week.
Exactly. Teams you should beat, go out, beat them. At absolute worst, like I said in the pregame, don't lose 2 in a row. If you don't lose 2 in a row for the rest of the year, I might not be happy about it if you lose a bunch, but I can live with not losing 2 in a row. Rattle a couple off together. Beat Arizona twice. You're good.
Yeah.
Nothing to think about here. I'm pretty good here, AJ. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that we talked in the pregame that losing to Pittsburgh creates extra pressure for
it
you.
Does,
because,
for
again,
sure.
When you're this late in the season, you know, your most important game is your next one. They are all, like, you were running out of time, especially when you're in a dogfight in the standings, like the Avalanche are.
Yep.
And they're fighting with two teams here. And the difference is could be significant. You could go from first in the Central
to third in the Central.
And hosting a first-round series probably as the 2 seed.
Yep.
But the top Central seed, and so you get the 7 team, which right now would be Seattle.
Yep.
You know, you could get a Seattle, you could get, you know, Edmonton, maybe in Edmonton, maybe in LA, kind of depending on how all that shakes out. We don't know yet.
The West is pretty tight as well, yeah.
So you could get that. If you really make a big run here and you win the Central and then you're able to catch the Pacific teams too, you're talking about first in the West and you're getting a floundering Winnipeg.
Yeah.
You're getting a rough, whatever the hell they are, Calgary Flames. Maybe a Nashville Predators? You want to run it back with the Predators in the first round? Except they're worse than last year?
You're very potentially getting a team that's just barely sneaking into
right.
the playoffs.
You're, and you're talking, yeah. you're talking about whoever gets the 1 seed out West this year, right now, today, looks like they have a major advantage in their playoff bracket. because they're going to get a team that just doesn't seem like it wants to be there versus the 7 seed right now, which is just a bunch of good teams battling for position. Yeah.
We did have a late super chat here from Paper Dolls who said, did you guys know Nate and Sydney are friends? She's been kind of on one in the chat tonight.
Yeah. Kay had a tough weekend. Everybody leave her alone.
Fair enough.
All right. Seriously, I'll fight all of you.
He will too.
Yeah. She's had a tough one. Just be cool to her.
On that note, I'm good. We ready to jump off this pod, AJ?
Yeah. What sucks? I hate going into off days on notes like this.
It stews a little bit.
Yeah, it sucks because normally I would love the opportunity to get back on the air tomorrow, talk about lots of good things, lots of things that can change, be different, whatever. But hopefully, everybody, hope that Kale McCarr gets to feeling a little bit better and is around for this weekend's tilts.
Yep. So
Arizona comes into the barn this weekend. You got to be prepared. That's a team playing really good hockey.
Slap them down.
Cannot take them lightly. Yep. Beat them down for our sake, and so I can talk trash to Leah and Petey.
That's the best part, to be honest.
I'll talk trash to Craig. He just doesn't seem...
He's not much of a trash talker, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no pod tomorrow, my man.
Yeah,
sorry.
We are off tomorrow,
unfortunately. It is one of our only weeks where we actually have 2 days off.
We got to pick our spots with the schedule right now.
Yep.
But we do appreciate all y'all hanging out, even after a loss. We can find us here.
Whichever one of you turned the thumbs down and at least took it away, because there were 3 at one point.
Appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
We have plenty of other content on YouTube. You'll find my review video tonight. We got written stuff coming. So check all that out. And, of course, we'll be back Friday to cover the game. So we hope to see you there, and we will talk to you on the next one.